Thank you. First of all, very warm welcome to the dignity on the stage, and for the organizers, the First Foundation, for putting this together, bringing such a great audience here this evening. Now, I don't think there's much left for me to say after Dr. Sambit Patra's, you know, powerful, masterly charged exposition. I mean, he was speaking more like a clear. I wrote a book on Tipu Sultan, the tyrant of Mysore and the author. And he's devoured it, completely digested it. And then that kind of punchlines that he's throwing, I mean, I have nothing left to say. And equally, I must commend Mr. Robert Rosario for his rather touching account of the sort of fate that Kerala Christians, Mangaluring Christians have undergone at the hands of the tyrant Tipu Sultan. I don't know why he is called a Sultan, but well, okay. I don't want to use a stronger word. Before I begin, you might be surprised to know who inspired me to write the book Tipu Sultan, the Tyrant of Mysore. As Dr. Patra quoted, his name is Rehman Khan. And I kept reading these reports, and I'm like, here is a guy who ruled from Srirangapatna. And 200 years later, he is a minister who's setting up a university, all-out Islamic university, named after his bigot, this mass murderer, using our money. So that is a question I asked myself, and then I said, okay, let me dig out and once for all, you know, try to find answers to these questions and, you know, kind of present it in the public. So with that, I'll begin my session. Now, if you take this Tipu Jayanti to its logical conclusion, let's see where it will lead us to. I'd say that the logical conclusion of celebrating Tipu Jayanti is that at some point in the future, this brazen appeasement of Muslims that these secular politicians are doing, only for the sake of getting votes, this attitude will encourage other Sura secular leaders to institute an Osama bin Laden award for peace. This will happen with this kind of mindset. Actually, when you look at the Bihar election campaign that Ram Vilas Pasman ran in 2005, if I'm not mistaken, he had with him wherever he went, he had a clone of Bin Laden with him to speak on, to get the Muslim votes. Equally, this disgraceful Tipu Jayanti, it has been a three-year-old albatross. It's been a curse which is forcibly hanging around the neck of Karnataka's people, celebrated forcibly by a failed government. This is the worst ever government. This is the same Siddaramaya who, in the same breath, sends Dasara and Deepavali greetings in the same breath. And he uses our money, our taxpayer money, to celebrate this tyrant's birthday as if it's some kind of an auspicious festival. So about 200 years ago, on the same festival of lights, the same great freedom fighter Tipu Sultan brutally massacred over 1,000 Hindu families in Mirkoti and plunged their successive generations in permanent darkness. They still don't celebrate this festival to honor the memory of their poor ancestors. So the question we need to ask, exactly whose freedom did Tipu fight for? When did he fight for the freedom? Where did he fight for this freedom? And from what twisted logic does he become a religious harmonizer, a great, you know, religious tolerance? What is also equally important is the ideology and the mindset that works behind celebrating such bigoted tyrants. And this mindset has a history of more than 80 years in India. It is a mindset of cowardice. It's a mindset of mindless appeasement of Muslims. And so unless we go a little deeper to understand this mindset clearly and erase it from our national consciousness once for all, we will keep having such Tipu Jayanti in every state. So I will take you back in time around the freedom movement, around the time he got freedom. And I will give you just three quotes that illustrate this origins of this mindset. Quote number one. Honorable members, I ask you members to stand in your places to pay a tribute of respect to Qaed e Azam Muhammad Ali Jinnah, who by his grim determination and steadfast devotion was able to carve out and found Pakistan, and whose passing away at this moment is an irreparable loss to all. Guess who said this? This was the Honorable First President of India, Dr. Babu Rajendra Prasad, who addressed the Constituent Assembly of India on Thursday, the 4th November 1948. Quote number two. Sir, in the early hours of this morning, Marshal Stalin passed away. When we think of Marshal Stalin, no single figure has molded the history of these years more than Marshal Stalin. He became gradually an almost a legendary figure. He proved himself great in peace and war. He showed an indomitable will and courage which few possess. Here was a man of giant stature who moved with the Soviet Union, who moved the people of Soviet Union in an almost family way. Some describe him as a gentle person. Marshal Stalin was great in his own right way. I believe that his influence was exercised generally in favor of peace. May I also suggest, sir, that the House, that is Indian Parliament, might adjourn in memory of Marshal Stalin. Guess who said this? Yeah, this time is Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru addressing the Parliament of India on 6 March 1953, when one of the biggest mass murderers, genocidal maniacs in the world, Vladimir Stalin, died in Russia. When the entire world was celebrating this guy's, this monster's death, this man declared in the House, the Parliament, that it be adjourned for a day. Quote number three. Much is said about the superiority of our Hindu religion, art, music and philosophy. But what are they to be? Your religion has become a thing of the kitchen as to what you can eat and what you cannot eat, as to whom you can touch and whom you cannot touch. The real danger to India is Hindu right-wing communalism. Guess who said this? This was Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru again on two separate occasions. Once in 1928 and once in 1963. We should have woken up when he made this statement in 1928, but like many things, we haven't woken up. So, given all this background, are you still surprised that the same mindset bestows sainthood upon Aurangzeb, upon Muhammad bin Tughlaq, and names roads after them? It's like, does Israel name a road after Hitler? Will the US construct a memorial for Bin Laden? No. But former Minister Rehman Khan will name a university after Tipu Sultan, and CM Siddaramaiah will celebrate his birthday using your money, using my money. This is a mindset that licks the boot that kicks them. So this mindset, the bigger the zealot, the crueler the tyrant, the bigger the hero he is. Muhammad Ghazni, Muhammad Ghori, Alauddin Khilji, Muhammad bin Tughlaq, Taimur, Babur, Aurangzeb, and unsurprisingly, Tipu Sultan. So, since Sambhiji has covered most of the Tipu's history from the primary sources, I'll just list out a few of his examples of Tipu Sultan's religious tolerance. First is a mass murder of about 70,000 Kodavas in Pur, destroying their temples, burning down entire villages, mass conversions, imprisonment, changing the native character of Kodugu by populating it with Muslims who were brought in from elsewhere. Mass murder and forcible conversion of over 30 to 40,000 Christians in and around Mangalore. The genocide of about 4 lakh Hindus in Kerala, various parts of Malabar. And needless to say, the destruction of thousands of temples in South India. And now for some details in Tipu's own words. Tipu writes to one of his generals, "You are to make a general attack on the Kurus, and having put to sword or made prisoners the whole of them, both killing them as well as the prisoners with the women and children, are to be made Muslims. With the grace of Prophet Muhammad and Allah, almost all Hindus in Calicut are now converted to Islam. Only the borders of Cochin state, a few of them are not converted. I am determined to convert them also very soon. I consider this as a jihad to achieve that object. Your two letters with the enclosed memorandums of the Nair captives have been received. You did the right thing in ordering 135 of them to be circumcised and in putting 11 of the youngest of these into the Usul Ilahi army troop and the remaining 94 into the Ahmadi troop. I have also achieved great victory recently in Malabar and over 4 lakh Hindus were converted to Islam." And now we can briefly look at Tipu Sultan's, you know, claim, the myth as a great freedom fighter. Here is a man who invited another tyrant from Afghanistan called Zaman Shah, wrote copious letters to him over months, invited him to invade India to establish the Empire of Islam here so that they could share the spoils of the territory in India that they would eventually hope to capture. And what is also equally well known to all of you is his various pacts with the French and his letters written to the Caliph and Turkey back then. So this is a freedom fighter. What is also important is this man was not only a tyrant, he was insane. I mean, he was delusional. He used to sit in his Latin and write letters to himself. He would address himself as an apostle of Allah, who was blessed by the various caliphs and the various other saints, who would root out the Christians. He would refer to British as Christians and infidels, kafirs, as Hindus. And constantly a bearded mullah would appear in his dream and would constantly quote him, motivate him that, you know, there's so many rewards waiting for you in Jannat if you convert this land of infidels into the land of Islam. The other question, or rather the other important precept, you see, to qualify for anything in life, right, typically a formal education, your basic qualification is to be an SSLC pass. Now this SSLC pass equivalent of qualification for any Muslim in India, any Sultan, any Nawab, is this. It is the destruction of Hindu temples and buildings. So from Ghazni, from Ghori, Balban, Khilji, Tughlaq, Taimur, the Mughals, all the way up to Tipu Sultan. Even today you look at what has happened in Afghanistan. The Bamiyan Buddhas. This mindset has remained the same. All of them have proudly recorded, copiously recorded, their court historians, their chroniclers. They have proudly recorded that this is an act of piety towards their Khuda, their God, by destroying Hindu temples. In Tipu's case, this number of destruction of temples runs into thousands. And we can just look at a couple of examples here, just to. Tipu issued an order, an edict for the destruction of all the Hindu temples in his dominions. He resolved to destroy every monument of the former government, that is the Wadiyas, and he razed the ancient fort of the city of Mysore. And he removed the temples, he removed the stones of these temples and palace to a neighboring hill. This is from a biography of Tipu Sultan written by the Lahore Staff Administrative College. The Raja of Cherakkal in Kerala offered Tipu 40 lakh rupees and the plates of gold with which one particular temple was roofed. But Tipu said that he would not spare it for all the treasures of the earth and the sea. And these are but tiny drops in the vast ocean of Tipu's religious fanaticism. Now, I am not a political person. In all sincerity, I will say that I am an honest researcher of history. And in all sincerity, when I try to locate even one facet that redeems Tipu Sultan, just one fact that shows whether there was a compassionate element in Tipu, I failed. There's simply nothing that can redeem Tipu Sultan's savage record, nothing. But the secular politics of Nehruism always has so far scored over history, and it makes heroes out of zealots and bigots. The project of painting Tipu Sultan as a freedom fighter and a great hero began long ago. The Tipu as a hero myth became popular after the Congress court historian and author Bhagwan S. Gidwani wrote a novel titled The Sword of Tipu Sultan, which was eventually made into a TV serial on Doordarshan by Sanjay Khan. It is here, perhaps for the first time, that Tipu is hailed as a tiger of Mysore. We can look at how the scholar I.M. Muthanna, whose authoritative book Tipu Sultan X-ray, describes this novel. Bhagwan S. Gidwani's Tipu has a political value today, especially after the Congress government in 1974, to oblige the Muslim voters, released a commemorative stamp on Tipu and described him as a freedom fighter. Releasing a 50 paisa postage stamp commemorating Tipu Sultan in July 1974, a minister of Karnataka said that Tipu was a hero of Karnataka, the defender of freedom, and so on. The chairman of the stamp releasing committee wanted the writers to present a true and faithful account of Tipu. Well, Gidwani has obliged him rather sneakily and in the form of a novel. Muthanna said this in 1980. 37 years have passed since then. See how well, how beautifully this myth has been put to use today by the same Congress under Chief Minister Siddaramaiah. Of course, it also helps that another eminence, Girish Karnad, is generously used Gidwani's material for his own play, concocting the same myth-making. While we are witnessing the dangerous consequences of such myths, used purely as political tools, the killings in Kodagu and elsewhere last year, it should also alert to us the fact that we were less than vigilant during those 17 years. The fact that Tipu Sultan, the tyrant of Mysore, is being honored today as a freedom fighter, is being painted as an icon of religious tolerance, shows just one thing. Those who celebrate his Jayanti share Tipu Sultan's definition of religious tolerance. Indeed, what's funny, Pakistan has a missile named after Tipu, and today the Karnataka Congress government is celebrating Tipu Jayanti. What exactly this implies is something for you all to think. Before closing, I'll repeat what I said last year, and if need be, I'll repeat it 1,000 times again. If Tipu Sultan was alive today and he witnessed a Jayanti in his name, he would have simply been furious and he would yell, "What is this Kafir festival being celebrated in my name?" Thank you very much.